Ready?
All right.
Yep.
Here we go.
Hey, this is Nicholas Brendan. I play Xander on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And you're listening to Potential Cast.
Do I go?
Yep.
This is episode 8, season 5, Shadow. Buffy has to face both her mother's critical illness and the growing threat to Glory's continuing search for the key. My name is Stephanie.
I'm Kimberly.
This is the shiny special one.
I'm Illyrio.
And I'm Allie.
Allie! Yeah!
Can you sing the whole entire
time? We're here.
Sorry, what? I forgot to put my phone on silent.
No!
What?
I want Allie to sing the whole time.
To only podcast and song?
Well, if we ever have a musical episode, we're probably going to draft you.
So, Allie, are you a professional musician?
Kind of.
Semi-pro?
Yeah, I have gotten paid to be a musician before.
Awesome.
A private singer! A singer for money!
Right? You're very talented.
Not to play instruments, awesome. And to teach guitar and stuff.
In San Francisco,
Bay Area.
Awesome.
Yeah, uh-huh. I've been all over the Bay Area.
Lovely.
But I especially love San Francisco. It's great.
Oh, I'd love to visit.
I want
you should.
I want. Can I come sleep on your couch?
Oh, definitely.
Yay!
Everybody does. Bring the little one. She's
there
awesome.
Where people can hunt?
Well, she sounds awesome.
She really is. She's pretty awesome.
Oh, and before I forget, it's been a couple years since you guys started the show. Who did your theme song for Potential Cast?
Well, for those of you interested, that would be Chris from England, also known as half of Chris and Joe from the 11th Hour podcast.
Because that's a pretty awesome theme song.
Also known as Ghost Watch in certain Ghost circles.
So, Allie, have you been a Buffy fan ever since the first run of the show?
Yes. Well, not from the beginning. I was 12 when I first saw an episode of Buffy. And you know which one it was?
They're bad.
Passion.
Nice.
Oh.
The one where Jenny died, and I'm like, this show's cool. But I didn't quite get it. Like, I really enjoyed it, but I just watched everything on the WB at that time, like Dawson's Creek and I was a preteen, and I'm like, this is what teenagers watch, and I want to be cool like a teenager. But then a couple years later, what actually got me really obsessed with it was being in Shakespeare classes. I was really into theater and acting, and I did Shakespeare, and I had this director in, incidentally, Much Ado About Nothing, which the trailer just got released for the Joss Whedon version.
Awesome.
I was so excited.
Oh. Yeah, I've watched it a million times today.
And she was like, she was so obsessed with Buffy. Like, she did a thesis on the movie when she was in college. So when the show came out, like, she was totally obsessed with it. So she would constantly quote it. Like, whenever we would, like, trip on stage or something, she'd be like, first rule of slang, don't die.
Wow, what a nerd.
I loved her. And so to try and, like, I mean, I guess I was kind of a kiss ass, but, like, I was also just excited that someone liked Buffy because... At school, I couldn't like Buffy because my best friend was obsessed with like Anne Rice and vampire novels, and so she hated Buffy even though she'd never watched it. It's really complicated, the story.
I totally understand. I get you.
So like I at school I had to pretend I didn't like the show, so I was really glad to have someone to talk to about it. And then it just took over my life.
So
it seems to do that for a lot of people.
Oh yeah.
You were Slayer shamed in school?
Really just by the one person.
Oh, okay.
But she was my best friend, so like
no more Slayer shaming. Okay.
I know, seriously.
Did the vampire ness come between you two? Are you guys still friends is what I'm trying to say? Or did Buffy
Oh no, that didn't come between us. But we're not friends anymore.
I was gonna say, did you ever tell her? I like Buffy there.
Out of the closet.
Yeah, I can't lie to people very well. I'm very, very bad at that. So it eventually came out because I had this other friend who was obsessed with Buffy and she started watching Angel. And so like I had to start watching Angel because she kept telling me about him. Like this show sounds so good. Mm-hmm. And so.
So, okay. Are you a bigger Angel fan or a bigger Buffy fan?
Buffy. I mean, I love both shows. And, like, when people say that they like Angel better, like, I totally get it.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know if it's just... I mean, I think it's just kind of the feminist bent to Buffy. It's the fact that it's starring a woman, and it's about a slayer who's a woman, and it just... It becomes so much more personal. And especially, like, in this season and next season, there are a lot of things that really spoke to my journey...
Mm-hmm.
And like the things that the issues that I had that I was going through that like Buffy helped me get through.
Like your slaying. It's...
Yeah, like the fact that I had to go out every night and fight vampires. Like nobody understood it like Buffy did. No, I'll definitely have to send in some feedback for once you get to season 6 because that's. You know, that's a very polarizing season, I think, among fans. Yes. And it was one that I loved because of... I mean, I think it was even polarizing for the actors. Like, some of the actors had issues with...
Hmm. Say no more.
Oh. Really? Oh, interesting.
I was going to say, spoiler. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Allie, we're really happy you could join us.
Big.
And
I am so happy too. I thought it would never happen.
Yeah. So, you guys, what do we have to do next week, Steph?
Do what?
What's on the slate for next week? Because we're done, right? This episode was so
bad.
Odd. There were some really awesome bits, and then there was this big giant pile of snake-shaped shit that stank so bad.
I'm thinking I'm going to blow your guys' minds because I loved this episode. It was probably one of the best. And I'm joking because it sucked so bad.
Oh, you're so mean.
I was just waiting for you guys to be like, oh my God.
Kimberly. Oh
my God. Okay. Okay. What? I'm so confused.
You like this episode, Stephanie?
Okay. Well, let's just talk about it from the beginning. Okay.
All right. I'll pull up my notes.
Yeah. Let's just talk about how Buffy's first... when Donald was being all whiny and questiony and trying to figure out, you know, what does cat stand for? What does cat mean? Does it mean that they tested it on cats? Buffy's first instinct was to get annoyed at Dawn. But she said, no, I understand. Dawn is confused. She's young. She doesn't know how to feel about mother being sick. So I've got to understand that, you know, she's young. And I think that Buffy is growing. Like, when you're a teenager, it's all about you. You're thinking about yourself. And when you start to grow up, you start to think about other people. And I think this is what's going on with Buffy. She's beginning to, you know, realize that she's got to give her sister, you know, she's got, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Her fake sister.
But how much do you think, how much do you think she would react that way if Dawn was just her sister?
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do
aside from like
she doesn't know that, yeah, she got to protect her. She doesn't know that she's not a person.
Uh-huh.
And okay, Riley blew up another vamp den. Was this like
no,
another?
No, they're talking about the one in the previous episode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I really have to start. If we do you want to start from the beginning?
Okay.
Really, we're spending money on an ad in the phone book?
Well,
were phone books
yeah.
really still a thing back then?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. 10 years
before the
ago.
Internet, yeah. And, you know, the magic
I mean, they
box.
Don't have cell phones, right?
They can. Angel does.
Angel does. No, but whatever the ad was, it totally worked because that place is always busy now.
It's always
There's always
busy
somebody
now.
Walking in or out when they start the scene. I'm like, really? There's that many people in this town into magic?
Exactly.
But it's Sunnydale.
Well, it's Sunnydale, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And so there's a phone book ad, and then we have Dawn and Buffy in the hospital, and we go back to the magic shop where Xander's complaining about Riley, and they're like, man, this is kind of crazy. What's going on? And then one of my favorite scenes is Xander is talking about where they should start looking for this ultra-powerful demon woman, all the usual places, sewers, underground, whatever, and we're immediately transported to the penthouse. Because it's Jeez. Nothing but the best for our Glorificus. I'm sorry. I don't want an Aldo shoe thrown at me. Glory.
I wrote that down too. Like she wears Aldo shoes. Like all girls.
Like all girls. Glory is her name. We have a name.
Yay!
We also have her not acting as well as I remember. Little bit over the top in this one. What do you guys feel about that?
She's always been over the top.
But this much?
TikTok, Illyrio! Tick frickin' TikTok!
I know, that's what I'm talking about.
It didn't bother me.
No?
I mean, I think the over the top thing is what good for the character. I just feel like there's something that the actress just doesn't quite get about the lines that she's saying.
Wait a second.
Like she doesn't have a rhythm.
I mean like Eliza Dushku?
Nap.
Very similar, but I think Eliza Dushku's hot, so it's okay for me.
I never said she was unattractive.
Ew.
Ew.
Right. Sorry, do not agree with that.
That's fine. And now, the part that angered me more than anything. Who the hell rips pages from the fucking phone book? You've ruined a perfectly good phone book. You're supposed to write down the information on another piece of paper.
That was like the movie TV thing to do. Like, they run into a phone booth, see the page they need, and they rip it out.
I remember being in high school, and one of my classmates was at the payphone. Near the main entrance, and ripped a page from the phone book, and then went up and spoke to a couple teachers and had the page in his hand. And they're like, did you actually tear that from the phone book? He's like, yeah. You're going to have to pay to get a new one.
Damn. Aren't they free? That's different, though, because it's like a public phone book. Like, that's her own phone book. She can do
Who
whatever
says
she wants
it's
her
hers?
Own phone book.
I guess
Who so. Says it's actually hers?
Well, she might have stolen it, but like no one else is going to use it after her.
That's fine. Fine.
Yeah, I feel like wherever she's living is
justified.
I feel like the penthouse that she's living in, she's just killed the person who lives there, and she just took over.
So it's a It's a Spoils of Murder phone book.
You're right.
Nice.
Okay, can we talk about Spike sniffing Buffy's clothes?
Absolutely. Oh my God, Spike is a sniff freak.
Gross.
And he's just rubbing it in Riley's face.
Riley is so insecure.
Yeah, he's just planting those seeds down. That, you know, Buffy likes me more because I spent the evening with her last evening and she told me all about her sick mother and she didn't tell you about it at all.
And she bought me chicken wings.
I just about died when he called him white bread.
That was awesome.
But the funniest thing was when Riley was snatching Spike out of the bedroom and he grabs a pair of her panties that are hanging out of her drawer.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. That was really well shot, too, I think.
I totally missed that. I have to go back.
Oh, you missed that?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
because, you know, I never properly put my underwear in the drawer. I always leave some hanging out.
He's going to sniff those, too. Gross.
You know, he's a vampire. He's a bad guy. What do you expect?
So is this the episode where everybody kind of lays off Joyce for being a bad mom?
Nope.
I don't recall Joyce being a bad mom at all. All I remember is Joyce. You remember when Spike came to town in School Hard and she was going to hit Spike because, you know, she was like, stay away from my daughter. And I remember Joyce being concerned when Buffy was told her about being the Slayer. And she was like, have you ever thought about not being the Slayer? Because she was concerned about Buffy. I don't remember Joyce ever being a bad mom. When was Joyce a bad mom?
Ted.
She does seem a little self-involved sometimes.
I just listed an entire episode where she was awful.
Yeah.
I rest my Jack Tripper inspired case. I know that's not the actor's name.
Well,
I just think though, because I grew up watching the Buffy movie. I actually love the movie, and at least she's a better mom than Buffy's mom in the movie.
Yes. Granted,
who didn't even remember her daughter's name.
Yeah. Crazy. Can we get back to the magic shop and discuss Tara and how after almost a full season now, she actually has contributed. Tara helps with her insight. What if she's not one of these things?
Well, her and Giles have been discussing who Glory can be. Or who she is.
I can't wait until there's a big confrontation at the magic shop. And she walks in, buys the items that she needs, and leaves.
Oh, that's so tense. It reminds me of the scene when do you remember when the mayor came into the library?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But that was more intense. This was just like kind of a Keystone Cops moment.
And like, they don't know her. Mm-hmm. She makes no...
And she doesn't know them.
No.
That's true.
It was a little wink to the audience. I like that.
I think so. Yeah, Glory visits the magic box. And
it makes for great comedy later.
It does. And, excuse me. It is a tumor.
Aww.
We find out that Joyce has a tumor.
No.
It was actually a shadow. And the word shadow comes up later.
Shadow's the name of the episode.
I don't know if you guys noticed that the word shadow comes up later.
Hmm? Yes. Hmm? It does? Where?
Oh, I'll let you know. So, Buffy talks to the doctor with the worst bedside manner ever.
Goodbye.
He's like the doctor from Arrested Development.
Yes.
When was there a doctor in Arrested Development?
When George had a heart attack during the court proceedings and then was rushed over. And then he comes out.
No, he's gone now.
He's gone now.
Like, oh my god!
No, I mean he left.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
So, what's up with little doctor? Like what? Like the young Ben. One, Ben.
You mean uh-huh. Ben, the intern?
You like, mean the cutie patootie?
The intern. He's all up in everyone's business. Well, Buffy's business, and I'm like, why is he telling her to leave?
Because she can't do anything to help.
I don't know. I just felt that, found it odd. I'm like, is he going to do something to Joyce? I'm like, why does she know his name? It's just weird. He's too all up in everyone's. I don't like him.
He's been around since, what, like episode 2?
Yeah. Like, he's just lingering. And I know,
and
like,
Buffy's a cute girl.
They keep bringing him back. And I'm like, something's not right here.
Well, you know, if something happens between Buffy and Riley. Because, you know, Buffy does not love Riley.
What?
She does not feel passionate.
Stop buying
about
into Riley's
him.
Propaganda.
And why would she feel passionate about this Ben guy?
Because he's a doctor.
Why? He's not Riley. Not killing anybody.
What?
He's not killing anybody maliciously.
Maybe he is. Maybe he's an evil doctor.
I don't know.
Oh my
That'll
God.
Totally be her bag.
I'm just saying, I don't like this Ben guy. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, he wouldn't be in so many episodes if he wasn't going to be.
There has to be some sort of payoff later.
Right.
Speaking of payoff, Buffy thinks magic will cure her mother.
Ugh. Well, magic cures everything else in her life.
And so,
why wouldn't she?
This actually brings up an interesting point. Were you guys expecting the Scoobies to suggest some magic, or were you expecting them to say, oh no, you can't use magic for this?
I didn't think that they would put some spell on Joyce. I don't know. I just didn't feel it.
Yeah. Agreed.
Seems like the kind of thing that the Scoobies would be split on, you know, like the ones who know magic would be like, oh no, natural things you should not use magic for, and the others are like, why not?
Well,
she shouldn't die.
Because doesn't every time Willow try to do something, she's either not strong enough or she does it wrong? You know what I mean?
Hmm.
I don't know. Isn't that what happens?
that actually has happened a couple times.
Yeah. So I think that if she were to do some sort of spell, and if I think the story went there, it would be too risky because it'd be too powerful when you're playing with life and death.
Hmm.
It's one thing to put a little spell on someone so that they don't, like, you know, turn into a frog or something, but as to chain to, like, prevent someone from dying.
Hmm.
I don't know. It makes me think of it. I'm going to jump to Supernatural, but usually, like, whenever something, whenever you do a spell for something, even if it's something good, something bad has got to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's always a payoff. So if they were to help Joyce,
something
using
else
magic, which is just a quick fix and, you know, cheap parlor tricks or whatever, something bad would happen, either worse to her eventually or to somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why this thing with Joyce is so weird in this world of magic, because it's something naturally that occurs that Buffy can't do anything about.
Mm-hmm.
She can kill any demon, any vampire, but this is beyond her control.
Yeah, you know what, though? It's nice to see that. because, yeah, you know, to see her be vulnerable and not have control over something instead of, yes, running around and being all, you know, Billy Badass about stuff like, oh, I can kill everything. And obviously, yeah, we've been seeing, you know, little things here and there where she's not as strong or as, you know, as she thinks she is. Yeah, you know, yeah, she's not the end all be all. So it's kind of humbling.
Not vulnerable enough for Riley.
Is Buffy getting a little long in the tooth as far as Slayer goes? Like, is she an over-the-hill Slayer? Is that why she's having, yeah, such a hard time with Glory?
Really, she is. Because, yeah, you know, we saw in Fool for Love and Darla that, well, I don't know.
Maybe she's not training
usually
enough.
They say, right, that Slayers don't... Well, and Slayers don't usually last more than a couple of years, and this is the fifth season.
Yeah.
Because that's like, she's already lasted at least twice as long as most Slayers.
Yeah, the Slayer in China seemed to be young, because she was like, you know, tell my mother that I'm sorry. But then the Slayer in New York...
Who was 45.
Uh-huh. Andrea.
Thought her name was Coffee.
Foxy. Yeah, Foxy Cleopatra.
Yeah.
That's right, sorry. Riley is a babysitter.
Oh. Yes, okay, so Riley takes an
amusement park. I know he had all the best intentions, right? But I'm like,
well, that's where you take kids.
You're so,
but she's
dumb.
Not four.
That's not an amusement. I thought it was just a park that had
it was
a
the zoo.
Oh, whatever. Yeah, yeah. But I know he was trying to do...
Well, yeah, Sunnydale has a zoo.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, so they have this conversation, and Dawn is trying to make Riley feel better by saying, you know, before... Are we not there yet?
No, you can talk about it.
Paraphrase,
don't
use quotes.
Yeah, don't use quotes.
I can't remember quotes.
Oh, good.
So, Dawn was trying to make Riley feel better by saying, well, when Buffy was with Angel, she cried a lot. Mm-hmm. And she's much better with you because she doesn't cry. But Riley takes that as, well, she doesn't feel passionately about me. Mm-hmm. If she felt passionate... Yeah, but see, now, to me, that sounds like he's no drama. And that's what mature people want, is no drama.
But that boy is messed up. As we'll see later.
He hears it like how Spike says it in that third season episode, the only third season Spike episode, where he's like, love is, I'm love's bitch, but at least I'm man enough to admit it.
Hmm.
Kind of that whole speech where he's like, oh, yeah, love...
When, what was it called, that one?
Lover's Walk.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Buffy nerd!
I don't have a gong sound. Anya calls Giles stupid.
The best.
That was awesome.
You never saw these together! What's the matter with you?
I think this is a really good episode for
and
Anya.
He clues into, oh, don't worry, the young woman I sold it to, blah, 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 dear God. But really, well, how could they have known?
Exactly.
They couldn't have.
No.
But that's exactly why I love this show, though. Like, watching that scene, it's like that's the whole point of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, is that, you know, this young woman goes down an alley and, like, monsters come after her and she's scared and then she kicks their ass instead of what you expect her to die. Yeah. And so, like, they see this young woman and they're like, oh, well, she's totally benign.
Yep.
No, she's totally the villain.
Glorificus. I wonder if she's to go out with Snuffleupagus. Speaking of animals... We get more zoo-based ceremonies!
Yay!
All right. Let's talk about the elephant in the room.
Okay.
The elephant being the special effects.
the really awful special effects.
The Rider the Snake. Yeah, that's why the episode was so dark.
The season one awesomeness.
Just it's the WB. Okay. Well,
yeah. Can I just say
it's the year 2000?
What they used for close-ups was fine.
No, it's the year 2000. This was bad CGI. I remember watching this when I was a kid, and I'm what is with this crappy snake?
Don't forget, Steph, The Matrix came out in
99. Yeah, but that was TV money. I mean, that was movie money. This is TV money. This is WB money.
Yeah.
I think the worst part about the snake, though, is not just, like, the CGI snake. Is the puppet snake doesn't look very good.
No, that looked much better than the CGI snake. And then
they look nothing like each other.
That's the thing.
I was going to say, they kind of look okay on their own, but when you put the two together, like, when you're just cutting between the close-up and the wide shot, it's like, ugh. Like, the scene where the snake was slithering down the main road. I'm like, well, that's kind of cool.
It wasn't bad.
He said, when they were driving and then the big garbage tank or garbage, the dumpster.
Mm-hmm.
Because the snake was clearly CGI, but I thought the way that it moved into the middle of the street, I'm like, that was pretty decent.
The way it slithered into the magic box was awful. The way it slithered out was awful. And when Buffy jumps on top of it. It was the worst.
It was so bad.
And then there's this close-up shot of it, like, of the puppet snake, and it's supposed to be moving down the street.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's just standing
there. Doesn't look like it's moving itself. It looks like someone is driving it.
But you know what? All the snake's footage was better than those two little half-second scenes of Buffy running.
Oh, God.
After it.
No, I think it would have been...
Oh, my God.
I think it would have been better if there was, because it looked like to me, like when it busted in the magic shop, it looked like a model. Like, so if it was a model with a little kid holding an action figure of a snake, that would have been times better than was there.
We need to back up a while. We'll get back to crapping on the snake CGI in a little bit. We need to talk about Buffy showing up in the middle of this ceremony and getting her ass handed to her.
Yeah.
And then she gets to leave 2 seconds before Glory tells the snake what it's supposed to be doing. How convenient. And this is where the word shadow comes back. I won't quote, but Glory asked the snake monster to find what is shrouded in shadow.
Nice pull, Illyrio.
Xander gives Riley a speech. Hey, buddy, what's with all the crazy?
I like Xander and Riley. I think they should date each other instead.
Poor Xander. You do that to Xander.
Then he wouldn't have to worry. Riley wouldn't have to worry about a significant other being more manly than he is.
Riley leaves telling Xander.
In this episode.
Pardon?
I said, although he was more manly than him in this episode.
Yeah. Riley leaves telling Xander he's just a little crazed. And then we have a montage.
Yay!
We had a musical montage.
Montage!
Guys.
I even wrote down before, I'm like, everyone's dumping on Riley. Well, no. Everyone's telling Riley how great he is, but he's taking it the wrong way. And I wrote, he's going to do something stupid to prove that he's a bad boy.
Yes!
Yes.
Alright, sorry.
Right.
This song has 400 plays in my library.
Oh my God. I don't think I have a single song played that much.
What?
What? Right. Not Moves Like Jagger? I don't know why I thought of that one.
Oh my gosh.
song with the most plays. Speaking of my library.
But then when in the montage when he was with that vampire, I'm like, oh, don't do anything stupid.
Oh, I was like, Riley, are you seriously going hardcore and going to be turned into a vamp? Are you that insecure?
I thought he was just going to sleep with her, and he's like, yeah, I'm a bad boy, what? And then I was like, oh no, he's going to turn.
He would have made the worst vampire. And then after, pardon?
You think so? Because when we just watched
Spike, he would have been the worst vampire if he'd wrote really bad poems and stuff. But
just had to get angry enough. I think if Riley got angry enough, he'd be a pretty wicked vampire.
Maybe.
I just don't know if Mark Lucas could do that.
I must say right now that the thought that came to mind after he slayed her, staked her, was, I wonder how many dark and darker turtlenecks he owns. Because, you know, he's going to need to hide those bite marks. And then later on in the episode, my question is answered.
You can just put a scarf on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
Wear a choker. Weren't they popular?
He could wear a dicky.
It's a good thing it's not summer. I said it would look weird. Yeah, no. Like, hey, why are you wearing a table knit turtleneck? It's weird. It's 80 degrees.
Well, it's Southern California, and they always wear knitwear. I mean, that's just how Sunnydale is, I guess. But he does have a lot of military-issued turtlenecks, doesn't he?
Yeah, I guess. I think that's what's going on.
It makes him feel safe and cozy.
So Don shows up at the magic box. So does the horrible snake monster.
Ugh.
And Buffy is conveniently trapped under a shelf.
Yeah.
The snake monster goes up to Dawn and she screams and screams and screams.
I'd run away too.
And the snake leaves. Now, I'm convinced the snake was not afraid. He was just, I've identified the key. I must tell Glory now.
Correct.
And it dashed off. And I love Buffy to Giles. It knows. Sorry if that was anyone's quote, but I couldn't resist.
That's fine.
And then we have the
There are too graphics. Many Anya quotes for me to worry.
There are all kinds of bad graphics, but can I... Something else that really pissed me off.
Mm-hmm.
Giles shows up in his car, stops, and they open the door.
Of a convertible where Buffy can jump in.
Jump in!
Whoever was driving that was not Giles, because the guy looks so weird. I was like, here's Giles.
And then bad effects, bad effects, bad effects, bad effects. And then Buffy goes all the Patriot on the giant snake. Overkill.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's letting out her frustration. She couldn't control anything. What? So she
tried to strangle it with like a swing set chain or something. Yeah. And she thought it was dead, but it came back to life.
The giant snake was being a giant possum.
And then she had to punch it and punch it and punch it and punch it. And punch it until it died.
Because it's a thing that she can actually do something about, unlike her mother's tumor.
Yep. All right. Remember last week?
No.
When I said Buffy will have to make a choice between her mother and Dawn.
And
here's my prediction. She's going to get into a situation where Glory is going to offer Buffy a choice. You let me have the key, and I'll help your mother survive.
No, I think that's too dark. I'm sorry. That's too much.
That's what's going to happen. And you know what? Buffy is going to choose to keep Dawn.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Mark your calendars. Today is the day I make the boldest prediction ever.
No. If anything, she'll make some sort of sacrifice where the key gets extracted from Dawn, but Dawn still remains human.
No, Dawn is the key, man.
I don't know. No, I know. That's too dark. For Buffy, yeah. Angel, I would be like, sure, they could get away with it. Hmm.
Good point. But I stand by my prediction.
I think it's a great idea.
Oh my god, it's the funnest thing listening to predictions live.
What did you say? What is too dark, exactly?
For her to have to choose between her mother and the key, and I say the key in quotes is because she knows that Dawn is a fake person.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? I think the obvious choice, when I say this and then I'm like, I'm going to be proved so wrong, would be to choose her mother because that's her blood. No. Like, literally, that's her blood. Because
if Glory gets the key...
Well, see, there's got to be...
There are dire consequences, of course.
Right, there's got to be consequences.
Tick-tock! She's on a schedule.
She's gonna sacrifice her mother. Then she'll literally have nobody in the world. If she loses her mother,
she'll have
then
Riley.
She will be joined to Giles' hip.
She'll have the Scoobies.
Not for
her
life.
Dad?
Not for
what
life.
Her dad?
Her dad's not here now.
Fuck him.
No. Come on. That's just I think that's too heavy a decision.
I can't wait. I can't wait.
It's a great idea, but I just think it's too much for a television show. Like, I don't know. I'm going to be proved so wrong. Hope no one save this recording and play it back to me when I'm proved wrong.
Okay, so what happens after Buffy punches the snake to death?
Joyce is telling Dawn about her problem. Wants to tell Dawn by herself, and then they call Buffy in after Riley shows up in his turtleneck. And is basically told, I don't need you right now.
Mm-mm-mm.
What an insecure boy.
Sad. Sad.
Although I do have to commend him. I thought he was going to confront Buffy about Spike, but he didn't. So at least there's that.
Uh-huh.
There is a time and place, and he knows that this is not it.
Nope.
Gabby, why are you sad? What was sad?
Well, Riley, it is obvious, has no place in this world anymore. He is literally shut out of her personal life. She goes into the room, in the hospital room with her mother and Palmolive, and she shuts the door and he's standing there all in the hallway. There is no place for Riley. His days are numbered. He just needs to go. It's obvious that she does not want him around, and no amount of puppy dog eyes and consolation is going to keep him in her good graces.
Mm-hmm.
He's done. He's done.
He should have gotten turned.
He should have.
So why did he stake that vamp? Was it just out of, like, self-loathing?
I think he wanted to know what it would be like, and maybe he changed his mind.
Yeah, I think he was ready to go for it, but then he's like, I can't do this. I'm Riley.
I have to do it. I have to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Which is, I totally thought that's what he was going for, to go become a bad boy.
Yeah, but I think, no. I just thought he was going to do something to prove that he's not the, you know... the superstar knight in shining armor type thing. He wanted to do something to prove he's a bad boy. But then when I thought, oh no, he won't be that stupid to actually be turned so that Buffy would love him. That's just pathetic.
It is pathetic.
See, it's like, oh, I'm going to go get bitten by a vampire and become a vampire so Buffy loves me because she loved a vampire and she doesn't love me.
Hey,
boo-hoo.
Ali,
and if,
sing it
if
with
that
me.
Ever, if that ever happens, like, further along, like, he does get turned, then Buffy, all she's going to do is turn around and stake him. She'd be like, are you stupid? Boom. You're done.
I think I have a new song request for Ali, and it's called... Riley's a vampire, he's super lame, and he's sorry he did this. He's all alone because nobody ever loved him, especially not Buffy.
Damn, I knew I should have gotten my guitar out before I started the episode.
That would be a good idea next time.
Oh, I wish I was musical.
You are.
So
you're musical a bit in your car when no one's in there, and the music is cranked up, and all the windows are rolled up too.
Everybody's musical in their cars.
I'm a friggin' rock star.
You know, I just wish somebody would have told me back when I was a kid. Just give it up. You have no chance. I wish somebody would have said, you have no ear for music. Music is not for you. Take a different path.
Can you sing something so we can all be the judge?
Please. Sounds like there should be some potential cast karaoke someday.
I know.
Perhaps. Oh, perhaps. Yes. Perhaps. Next season.
I think in honor of that. Sorry. Woohoo! Sorry. I'm monitoring a sports event. I think in honor
you mean you're
of.
You're not devoting your full attention to this?
I'm paying full attention to this, but I can see a number two turn into a number three. So I think in honor of Once More with Feeling.
Sounds like a hockey score.
Probably plan to do at least one episode all singing.
Okay.
Every one of us?
You know, yes. I cannot carry a tune. I'm serious. I have no ear for music. I promise. It will be terrible.
I can't either, but it is on. I dare anybody to listen.
I agree.
I'll do it now.
All right. Let's do it. I have a bunch of karaoke versions of songs right here. No, let's move along to feedback, shall we?
Sure. I bet we had a bit.
Pardon?
Did we have a ton of it? We had much feedback.
We have
it was
one
insane,
email,
right?
And we have some Facebook feedback.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Yep. Rachel writes to us. So, shadow. Joyce has a shadow. It's all sad and shit. Spike is caught smelling Buffy's sweater, and it's all gross and shit. The Beast finally has a name, and it's glorious and shit. Glory has minions, and they are the greatest thing ever.
Kevin Watson. He was Marshall in Alias.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh!
That's funny.
Who was Marshall in Alias? For this episode. The guy who played Dreg.
Oh, okay.
I remember him from Roswell. Because that's a show everybody watched.
Was he in
like a Roswell?
He was only in like the pilot, and then he came back for another episode.
He's been in a couple of shows here and there. I think Fringe, maybe.
I hated that main guy in Roswell. I only watched the first season, and I was like, I'm done with this.
Did you watch Party of Five?
No.
I watched like every episode of Party of Five.
If Neve Campbell was on it, I watched it. Dawn gives Riley a lesson in relationships at the carousel of forged memories. And even though it is
carousel of forged memories.
It is two
Rachel,
of my least
I love you.
And even though it is two of my least favorite characters, it is a moment of pure awesome cakes. Dawn is trying to soothe Riley and really sending him further down the path of self-pity. And can I just say right now, you know how certain podcasters will award extra points for the bronze? Well, any episode with Giles and Anya and the Scoobies in the Magic Box gets 5 extra points from me.
Other podcasters? I wonder who.
Add an additional 50 whenever they deal directly with a monster of the week, hillbilly family members, a big bad, or get knocked out in there. Lastly, proving that they learned absolutely nothing from Reptile Boy or Graduation Day, there is, once again, a fucking terrible looking plastic snake monster that is as threatening as the puppy Labrador dragon from Never Ending Story. Keep on gur-arging, Gax.
Oh my god.
Thank you, Rachel.
My favorite person in the whole world right now.
Rachel's a vampire. Scary. No, wait.
It's a carousel of forged memory.
I'm actually very upset that she said that.
Why?
Because I had something similar, but it wasn't nearly as funny. Oh. For my rating system.
Isn't that a Green Day song?
Yes.
Boulevard of Broken Dreams.
Boulevard of Broken Dreams. And no, I'm not playing it. Facebook feedback. Toot toot.
Whoa.
Did someone score? Because that wasn't for me.
That's for me.
Simone says, yeah, so that was a giant snake with tiny dino arms. Patrick Thomas says, I'm convinced that terrible giant CGI snake is just a genus of demon in the Buffyverse. Also, Riley killed Sandy. We've never seen her actually do anything wrong. I call that murder. Fuck you, Riley. Recurring background character killing douchebag. You stay away from Jonathan! It's even worse when you consider that she's a not-so-subtle prostitute metaphor. Riley lured a hooker into an alley and stabbed her to death. It's funny because it's easy. I mean, true. Rachel says, we never saw the nest of vampires last week do anything wrong either. Vampires must be slayed. That is the premise of the show, whether they have character names or not. Chips and Souls or Being Harmony are the only free pass right now.
Oh, Harmony.
Sorry, I'm crying from Patrick's comment. Tammy says, I'll speak to a small scene between two disfavored characters just cause. But seriously, the scene between Riley and Dawn at the park is really good. You can see what's happening in Riley's head and understand why he's reading the situation that way. You can acknowledge them both that he's reading it right, but at the same time, he's also wrong, overreacting and being a douche. I'm not saying it well. But basically, I enjoyed the thorny mess of it because it's very real. He shouldn't be evaluating his relationship through that lens, but it's very realistic that he does. And on a more macro level, that's not the whole truth of Buffy Angel and Buffy Riley, and yet it sort of is. Mm-hmm. Anyway, small scene that I think is a good example of the emotional truths that Buffy portrays so well. Ina! She says the snake looks pretty bad, but other than that, it's a pretty enjoyable episode. I love Glory and her wacky minions. Best part was Spike sniffing Buffy's sweater and stealing her underwear. And sad face for Joyce and her shadow.
Paula says, Bovingdon? Paula Bovingdon. Yes. 6 out of 10 sniffs. I think Hope Buffy would die while seeking out the dark side.
Riley.
What'd I say?
Buffy. If Buffy dies, we don't have a show.
Why did I agree to read? Okay.
You're not still using a cracked screen, are you?
No, this is my new iPad. Let me start over. Paula Bovingdon, 6 out of 10 sniffs. I think Hope Riley will die while seeking out the dark side. Joyce will be fine, but Riley will die.
Can't wait. Ray says, a bit of a letdown after the Fool for Love Darla awesomeness, but that snake is awful. It almost felt like a season 1 or season 2 episode with the crappy looking enemies. It's not terrible, but I think it's in the bottom 3 episodes of season 5.
Yeah, you know, a lot of shows do that. Like, you'll have a really good episode, and then, like, there'll be a filler episode with a crappy, you know, story. But then you get to season 6, and there's not that, and it's shocking.
Mm.
Enough said. I'll go on. I want to read Brad's. Brad couples. Shadow, are there Minotaurs or tricky mountain lions involved? It wanders off to locate DVD. I don't know what that means.
Manitou was referenced in the latest Intro to X episode.
Oh, okay.
You know, the podcast that Kim is a silent guest host on?
Mm-hmm. So silent, you can barely hear me.
Luke says. Not much happens here except we learn the beast's name is Glory. The scene between Spike and Riley was the best part. The snake may be the realistic compared to the mare and the one from Band Candy, but it still looked fake. Steph Smith put a YouTube
video.
There
was a snake in Band Candy. Man.
Was there?
They have so many bad snakes. In the sewer, right? When the mayor stole the babies.
Oh, yeah.
There's Beth so says, many bad snakes.
I like when Anya calls them out for selling those two ingredients together. She really knows her stuff. Oh, and Gabby, were you excited to see the Sunnydale Zoo again?
Yes.
Lynette says,
I may give a point for it.
Ooh. Lynette says, yeah, what's a little sweater sniffing between sworn enemies?
Val says, oh my god, this is one with Fake the Snake.
Fake the Snake Roberts?
It always makes me cringe when I see tiny Buffy punching him with her tiny fist. That gets me really award. That gets my award. It's hysterically cringeworthy.
Thank you, everyone, for the feedback. Alright. Let's give this thing some rating, shall we?
Allie?
I guess I will give it... I will agree with the woman whose name is very hard to pronounce. Paula, right? 6 out of 10. I just had it. I already forgot it. What was my rating? Okay, I'll have to make up a new one.
Sorry. I've been saying that to people all day. Never gets tired to me.
Okay, 6 out of 10. Haze.
Haze?
Actually, there were only 4 in the episode, but I want to give it... Actually, maybe I'll give it a 4.
There you go.
You didn't enjoy this episode, Allie?
No. Yeah, 4 is too low. I'll go with 6. I just, you know... It is a filler episode. I mean, it's one of those episodes where it's like there's a lot of good things in it, but it's overall not like... It's not a strongly constructed episode, and there's so many of those in Buffy that why would I give it a good score when there's all these other episodes to give 9s and 10s to?
Oh. See, I didn't have a problem with... The only problem I had with this episode was the snake with the... tiny arms. It was the arms were ridiculous. But other than that, I mean, like, I enjoyed, like, I totally understood where Riley was coming from, that he was feeling left out, and that Buffy does not feel passionately about him like she did with Riley, and that Spike made him feel he was not badass enough for Buffy, that he has got to be badass for Buffy.
Mm-hmm.
So I give it 8 out of 10 forgotten boyfriends.
Aww. Really that high? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I had no problem with it at all.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. I thought it was okay.
Tell me why this episode was cheesy.
Me?
Who called it cheesy? Did someone call it cheesy?
I don't.
Well, I feel like Kim is going to say it's cheesy.
No. Oh, because of the heartfelt moment at the end? No. My heart is not that black. No, but I liked the parts that were good.
I hated the parts that were bad. I like the stuff between Spike and Riley. I actually really liked all the Riley stuff in this episode. I can't even say that. I really liked the Riley stuff in this episode, even though he's not my favorite. I'm like, well, at least he's getting a little bit more interesting, because if he does something really stupid, that would be like, finally, he's not a robot. All the stuff in the magic box, it was pretty funny. You know, great comic relief bits. But I just, like you said, the filler episode, it just felt like we didn't really learn that much, except for that that snake thing was going to run back and tell her about the thing about Dawn. And that Dawn, I don't know, I thought that the thing was scared of Dawn, but then when it went back to just report to Glory. But anyways, I'm rambling. I enjoyed it, but it wasn't, it's not one of my favorites. It's not like, oh, because the last two episodes that we saw of Angel and Buffy were just, woo, the best.
Mm-hmm.
That this one, you know, on a curve, nowhere near. Like, probably, if this was before the last two episodes that we watched, it'll probably get like a 7 or 8, but I'm going to give it a 6. 6 out of 10. What is it? Carousel. What did Rachel call it? Carousel of Broken Dreams.
No, oh, you know I was going to say something similar. You steal that.
I was thinking Boulevard of Broken Dreams because someone was talking about Green Day, and I was like, "What is it again?" No, but yeah, I'm rambling because I can't put it into words. It's just graded on a curve. Meh. Mm-hmm. Like I could have done without this episode. You know, I think maybe it was like half of an episode that they really stretched out because they needed to. I don't know. I'm just, yeah.
I kind of think of it like I was listening to the Battlestar Galactica intro cast, Resurrection cast for Black Market, which is
worst apparently, episode.
Yeah, everyone seems to be in consensus that it's the worst episode of Battlestar Galactica.
Which one is that?
Black Market.
Yeah, just
it's the one where Apollo is dating this hooker.
Oh, I hate Apollo.
He's dating a hooker? I've seen that show twice. Like, the entire series twice, and I don't remember this?
It's the episode that sticks out like it does not belong in the show.
And how they described it is that it's like so many episodes of Battlestar Galactica are not just regular episodes of television, you know, like the show stands out in general because so many episodes are as good as a movie, mm-hmm. you know. Uh-huh. And so the same thing is kind of like this episode for me, like this episode is just an episode of television, but yeah. Most of the time Buffy surpasses those standards.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
I don't know. I appreciated this episode this time more than I have before. Mm-hmm. And I've probably seen it 5 times.
Well, I've only seen it twice. And I'm going to give it a rating now. I thought a lot of this episode was kind of boring. And then there was a musical montage that gave us a side of Riley we'd never seen before. The incredibly stupid, overreacting, childish teenage boy side. He's like emo. He's like cutting himself because it's the only thing that feels real.
Oh, I got a close-up plan.
So,
wow.
What? I think it's a fine analogy.
I think it's a really good one.
7.5 out of 10 pathetic fake birthday memories.
Aww.
The carousel of pathetic? Forged memories was better.
Or wait, it's the actual what the memory is about is pathetic, or
yeah. That memory's pathetic. I had no friends, so it was just us, and Mommy made us write it the whole time.
so we can get our money's worth.
Why did you bring me here?
An entire hour on a carousel? Like, yeesh.
Why would she do that too if like they had just moved to a town? Like, how can a kid make friends in like that short a time?
It's joy.
Maybe she thought all the kids were gonna want to ride the carousel and be Don's friend.
Oh,
wait a second. None of this happened. Why are we talking about it like it happened? Let's move on.
Wow. Well, that's up hilarious. Until the whole snake business, I was all about this episode, and the fact that there was a lot of Palmolive and Tara didn't bother me for a change.
Barely any Tara, and her dye job is awful.
Well, her existence just irritates me, but then I'm sorry, I love the cutie patootie Ben. Love him.
I want to see
good things happen to him.
He's a shady mother.
And I felt bad for Riley, but serious, it's obvious his days are numbered. Can we just send him packing? So I am going to give this 7.5 out of 10 clueless shopkeepers.
Oh! Gonna take that, Giles?
I didn't call him stupid. I said clueless. I love Ben.
Did everyone go?
Yes.
I think so.
That's what we thought. Let us know what you think. Give us a call, 270-40-BUFFY. You can send us an email at
potentialcast@gmail.com.
I was worried you're going to sound that horn again. You can check us out on Twitter. We're at potentialcast. Go to potentialcast.com. That's where we release the shows. And you can check out our show notes, download directly, or you can subscribe via iTunes. You can subscribe on Downcast, too. And you can go to the Facebook group. Facebook.com/groups/potentialcast. Keep it spoiler free, or I'm going to send a really awful CGI snake to your house.
No!
That's right.
Okay.
Now, it'd be quote time, and I'm going to let someone else go first. I'll go last.
Go, Gabby.
Go, Gabby. Go, Gabby.
Oh, my God. Now I'm going to say it again, even though Kimberly said it earlier, but it's just fun, and I've been dying to say it all day. Tick-tock, Dreg. Tick-freaking-tock.
You know, 2000, is that when we started using the word freaking?
So yeah, much? Probably.
I'm from New York. I've always used it. Friggin.
I thought you were Albanian.
Albany, New York.
Oh, that's where I get confused.
Do you mind? What?
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 What? Get
it? Xander says it when they all get it that the girl is the thing, and he's like, oh, what? Oh, that wasn't a good one. I'll come back. I've got a better one.
All right.
Okay.
Next.
I'll go.
Go, Allie.
Okay.
Go, Allie. Go, Allie. Go, Allie.
Hey. Hey. Hey.
Hey! Okay, here's mine. Fun.
These are the worst quotes of all time.
All right, I'm about to drop the mic.
Uh-oh.
Okay, go.
She doesn't get all worked up like that over you. Twist that knife, fake sister.
Wow. And my backup quote was equally awful, not like yours, but you know, I want these. I
okay, here's my backup.
What?
There were shoes. Wasn't that what you were talking about? Shoes?
Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, I for one didn't want to start my day with a slaughter, which really goes to show how much I've grown.
Yes. That was a good one.
If she's really as powerful as Buffy says, I'm sure it won't be long before she makes herself known.
Funny.
Or Xander says, what does he say? He says, why don't we ever find a cult of bunny worshippers?
Anya says,
that's going to give me nightmares.
Kim, are you ready? Did you find one? Kim?
Oh, yeah, I wrote down another one. Giles sold it to her.
If it's any consolation, I may have overcharged her.
That's awesome. Yay. Is that it?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Allie?
Yes?
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I'm very happy you could be on with us. Where else can we listen to you in your amazing, gorgeous voice?
My music?
No, just podcasts in general, but music too.
Podcasting.
And music too. Tell us.
Because I don't really... I sent you a link for some old music that I have up.
Yes.
But, which is a really old MySpace. Shown by the fact
MySpace
that it's MySpace.
MySpace is new again. MySpace is new again. It's all just Justin Timberlake, right?
Ugh.
What?
I mean, MySpace has always been good for music. That's why I leave my music up there. Mm-hmm. Which is Allie Jones Solo. MySpace.com/AllieJonesSolo.
Yay.
I've done the rounds on podcasts. I don't have my own podcast anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really sorry about that, podcasting community. Because everybody loves Supernatural. It's such an awesome show.
Yes! Let's do
but
it.
The thing that I really, really want to pimp out that I've been doing on the other podcasts is I'm working on a web series called Eight in the Gate. I wrote it and directed it, and I'm still in post-production for the pilot right now. But once the pilot gets released, I'm going to have a Kickstarter project to make the whole first season.
Damn.
It's called Eight in the Gate. And there's a trailer online for it. Go to youtube.com/8inthegate, all spelled out, no numbers. And that's
cool.
It.
What's it about?
Yay!
It's about...
wait, can I guess?
Sorry, yes.
Can I guess? 8 in the Gate. That must be a playoff of 8 is Enough. So, it's a man who's a widower who has 8... children, but they're not his. They're all adopted from China, and they're actually octuplets.
No, this is what it's about. It's about 8 in the Gate. It's about horse racing.
Nice. That's
yeah,
a good
guess. So good.
No.
It's about movie theater employees and their romantic pratfalls.
I think it is it too late to change what it's about, Ellie? Because I'll give you my idea free of charge. Never mind. I can't wait to check it out. So we'll let everybody know where they can contact you on the show notes of the show. If you want them to contact you. We'll let everybody know where to check out your stuff. thanks again for joining us. We're really happy to have you on. And folks, if you don't know already, Allie is the new voice of the Redemption Cast theme.
Yay!
So there. Steph?
Yes.
What's on the slate for next time?
Oh my gosh, Shadow is the last one on this disc. Hold on. Hold on. Yeah.
I think it has to do with fear.
Fear. I don't know.
Something fear.
Hold on. Oh, shit! I didn't know you were still here. I thought you were.
Are you okay? What happened there?
She got scared.
Edward ghosts? Edward's here. Oh. I thought he was coming close.
I was like, wow, she's really excited about this next episode, guys. She's
really frightened.
It's going to be good.
Oh my god, it's the greatest episode ever. Oh my god. There's so much coming. Oh my gosh. This is not a filler episode. Oh my god. Since we're in the world, I'm not.
Okay, here we go. And all right, next week, next time, listening to fear.
Cool.
What do you think it's about?
It's not intro to X time.
What I think it's about?
Yeah.
I think that they're going to have some old video or old recording, and they're going to be listening to people dying.
Whoa. That's dark.
I think,
or they're going to hear things in the walls.
I think Riley is going to have a personal schism, and he will basically, it'll be like a Gollum situation.
She doesn't love you. Like, she never will. You're not good enough for her, precious.
No, I'll be okay. I'm big and strong and I can be fine.
No, no. She'll leave us. Leave us.
I think that's what it's going to be about. I can't wait.
Oh, God. That would be a great episode.
Like voices, voices in their heads type thing?
Hmm?
Like voices in his head or an actual demon coming in telling him?
Voices in his head is what I thought, but maybe it'll be a demon that'll prey on his fears.
Maybe it'll be a demon in his head.
Maybe he'll turn into a demon. What?
Maybe. All right, are we ready?
Ready.
Bye, everyone.
Namaste.
Bye.
Later.
Bye.
Yes! We'll be right back.
Midna, what are you looking at?
Porn. Cat porn. It's got to be cat porn, right?
I need to make sure he can get to his food. Uh-huh. That's what it is. I'll be right
Kim
back.
Told me she was going to be late, so I figured we'd just stall.
Okay.
Cat porn.
What?
Do we have a guest?
Yeah, it's the mellifluous and lovely Allie Jones.
Ooh, maybe she'll, instead of just talking, maybe she'll sing through the whole entire thing. Can you just, every time you pipe up, can you just sing to us, please? That'd be great.
I can't, like, ask like her to do that because her voice makes me quiver and it would be a very uncomfortable show. Yeah.